If you believe, assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Man, that just gets you up and punches you right straight in the face, doesn't it? Man, I love that. Whether you like it or not, that rocks. Okay, here we go. Thank you very much, RJ Hinder and crew. Another fine addition. Thank you very much for sending your audience this way. I welcome everybody, good folks listening to RJ Hinder, and incorporated you in with the 2A Radio family. I'm feeling good. So, a little bit of housekeeping, guys. First of all, right here at RBN, Republic Broadcasting, we're always trying to spread the word and get the truth and the information out there to the masses. Well, we could always use a little bit of help from friends. So, for $8, $8, that's it, and it's flat fee, $8, you can get 100 generic RBN cards. I say generic because they don't have anybody's name and title on them that you can hand out. And these are good looking cards. These are not just some sort of cheap thing that came off a laser printer or bubble jet. These are very nice printed cards. Now, I come from a printing background. I was raised in a print shop. I know what good work is, and I know what garbage shortcuts are. This is good looking stuff. For $8, you can get 100 of these cards to hand out. You can also, it also comes with a bumper sticker that's included, as well as a free copy of Aaron Russo's America, From Freedom to Fascism. If you have not seen this particular video, it's a movie, it's a documentary that Aaron Russo did. It was his last project before he died of cancer. And RBN's own Dave Champion happened to be one of Aaron's consultants on this movie, because he goes into a lot of things dealing with taxes as well. It's a very, very encompassing movie. I saw this thing a couple years ago. It is great. And again, Dave Champion, he has his show here on RBN Monday through Friday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon Central Time. He has the hour just before John Stadtmiller comes on. So he had involvement in Freedom to Fascism. And with that being said, $8 is going to get you the 100 business cards, the bumper stickers, and Aaron Russo's Freedom to Fascism. And you can get that one of two ways. You can either send the $8 in to 2251 Double Creek Boulevard. That's two different words. Double, then Creek, I guess three different words, then Boulevard. Suite 302. Okay? That's in Round Rock, two different words, Texas, TX, 78664. Or you can call up. You can call 800-724-2719, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. 800-724-2719, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. And you can get all of this, the 100 cards, as well as the bumper sticker, as well as Aaron Russo's copy, From Freedom to Fascism, for $8. So take care of that. Got plenty of news, information, commentary, all that great stuff coming up in the rest of the show. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I want to address an email which is starting to really make the circulation. You're bound to get it if you're pro-gun from someone. Let me just read this thing to you. It says, U.S. agrees to timetable for U.N. gun ban. Now, I'm going to read this email in its entirety, then I'm going to address it. It says, the United Nations and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton are moving forward with their plan to confiscate your guns. The United States joined 152 other countries in support of the Arms Trade Treaty Resolution, which establishes the dates for the 2012 UN conference intended to attack American sovereignty by stripping Americans of the right to keep and bear arms. Now, keep listening. Work groups of anti-gun countries will be scripting language for the conference this year, creating a blueprint for other countries when they meet at full conference. It says the stakes couldn't be higher. Former United Nations Ambassador John Bolton has cautioned gun owners about the Arms Trade Treaty and says the UN, quote, is trying to act as though it is really just a treaty about international arms trade between nation states, but there's no doubt that the real agenda here is domestic firearms control, end quote. Establishing the dates for the Arms Trade Treaty conference is just the first step towards the plans for total gun confiscation. The worldwide gun control mob will ensure the passage of this full-encompassing anti-gun treaty. And that's where Secretary of State Hillary Clinton steps in. Once the UN gun ban is passed by the General Assembly of the United Nations, it must be ratified by each nation, including the United States. As an arch enemy of gun owners, Clinton has pledged to push the U.S. Senate to ratify the treaty. She will push for passage of this outrageous treaty designed to register, ban, and confiscate firearms owned by private citizens like you. Again, keep listening. This is why it's vital for you to sign the special petition I've made for your signature that demands your U.S. senators vote against ratification of the UN Small Arms Treaty. So far, the gun grabbers have successfully kept the exact wording of their new scheme under wraps. But looking at previous versions of the UN Small Arms Treaty, you and I can get a good idea of what's likely in the works. Don't let any of the experts lull you into sleep by saying, oh, we have it handled, or until you know exactly what's in the treaty, you can't fight against it. Judging by Ambassador Bolton's comments, who certainly knows what to expect from the American freedom-hating international crowd that infests the UN, we are certain the treaty is going to address the private ownership of firearms. If passed by the UN and ratified by the U.S. Senate, which is where we must ultimately make our stand, the UN Small Arms Treaty would allow certain force national governments to do the following. First, enact tougher licensing requirements, making law-abiding citizens cut through even more bureaucratic red tape just to own a firearm legally. Second, confiscate and destroy all unauthorized civilian firearms. All firearms owned by the government are excluded, of course. Third, ban the trade, sale, and private ownership of all semi-automatic weapons. Fourth, create an international gun registry, setting the stage for full-scale gun confiscation. So please click here, following this link in the email, to sign the petition to your U.S. senator before it's too late. You see, this is not a fight we can afford to lose. Here's what you can do to help the National Association for the Gun Rights fight Hillary Clinton and her United Nations cronies. Click here to sign a petition to demand that your United States senator vote against the United Nations Small Arms Treaty. Forward this email to your friends and relatives who share your concerns for American sovereignty and protecting our right to keep and bear arms. Here's the kicker. Please consider making a generous contribution to the National Association for Gun Rights to help us fight Hillary Clinton and the United Nations Small Arms Treaty. Without your help and support, the NASA Association for Gun Rights cannot defeat this measure. Thank you for your support and for your liberty, Dudley Brown. P.S. The Obama administration just announced they would be working hand in glove with the UN to pass a new global small arms treaty. That is why it is vital to you and I to fight back immediately. Okay, so let's address this a little bit. First of all, they're not even going to have the conference, according to this, until 2012. But right now, you need to start emailing your senators. 2 years early, 2 years before the concert, the conference. Well, if there is a conference in a treaty, it would probably be 3 years before they got in front of the Senate. So that's a total waste of time. You also know that when they're saying, hey, because of this really tight timetable of 2 to 3 years, you need to send us some money. Not a good way of raising money by showing right boldface in this email, if you have any sense of understanding it, that it's immediate right now. I mean, find another way to legitimately raise money. But here's the deal. There is such a treaty and such a conference planned. All right? There is a treaty that's already been passed. The new one in 2012 is supposed to be even more wide-sweeping. The one that has been passed has never been ratified by the Senate, which means it has no legal force in the United States. Furthermore, the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Treaties are made pursuant to the Constitution and have no power to trump the Constitution. Additionally, treaties address foreign relations matters, not domestic issues. Though at times domestic companies feel the effect of foreign relations decisions, but it's not a direct effect on domestic issues. In other words, no treaty has the power to divest an American citizen of a single one of their rights. All right? The spin that's being put on this treaty by some of these pro-gun folks is really a shame, as it really pretty much undermines the credibility of the larger pro-gun community. So if you get this email or one like it, realize these things. All right? Nothing we really need to be too concerned about. And if we do need to be concerned about it, simply by saying, look, it's not going to address us domestically, so don't waste your time in the Senate with it. Trust me, by the time it comes around to the Senate for a vote, first of all, it's not going to have any effect here. Secondly, we'll have plenty of opportunity to put a stop to that point. Put our words in to put a stop to that. Okay. I just wanted to give everybody a bit of a heads up on that. We get a lot of emails. We get a lot of different things that get thrown around. Now, I am not even really familiar with this National Association for Gun Rights. I don't know who Dudley Brown is. Before reading this email, I've never even heard of the National Association for Gun Rights. Not to say it doesn't exist, not to say it isn't legitimate. It very well may be. Dudley Brown might be a wonderful scholar. I just got to say, I've never heard of any of this. I've been in the gun rights movement for some time. I have been in the Secure Our Second Amendment Freedoms movement for some time. I've been a defensive shooter for some time. And I've never come across the National Association for Gun Rights or heard of Dudley Brown. So, I don't know who they are. I might do a little research. I might not. All I know is that they're looking for donations. If, in fact, it's a legitimate organization, they might be very deserving of good donations. If not, I don't know. Now, you guys know me. I shoot straight from the hip. I do not, unless I actually have my gun in hand, then I use my sights. I do not pull any punches. And I speak it like it is. I simply am not going to sit here and support National Association for Gun Rights or Dudley Brown, but I'm not going to sit here and trash them either because I don't know anything about them. All I know is this email is full of a lot of hype, which if you read it through, you can certainly tell that it's full of a lot of hype. It just became 2010. They're not going to have a conference until 2012, 2+ years from now. Then, even if anything does get hammered out at this conference, it then goes to the UN, then it would have to get voted on, then it would have to get sent out to the states. This is years away. Years away, if it ever does come around. Years away from ever hitting the Senate. It does not need to be fought right now. And they even say it needs to be fought in the Senate, because we can't fight at the UN. We as the American people. Now, my own views on the UN... the United States should leave the UN and kick them the hell out of this country. We don't need to have them in New York City or anywhere on American land. As a matter of fact, we should probably relocate the UN to the Azores Islands. That is, if you look at the Pacific, where Hawaii lands between the west coast of the United States and the eastern edge of Asia, yeah, the Azores Islands are pretty much the same sort of thing between the east coast of the U.S. and the west coast of Europe. Out in the middle of nowhere, they are Portuguese. We have an airbase there. Put the U.N. there so everybody can go there and actually do business instead of coming to the U.S., having the people that we really don't want in this country, when some goofy-ass leader wants to come and speak, like the president of Iran or the premier of Chechnya or whatever it is, we don't have to tolerate them being on our property in our country. And we don't have to worry about all these people that have some form of diplomatic immunity acting like jackasses, driving like scumbags, and trying to do whatever the hell they want in this country. Leave them in the Azores Islands or some other equally hospitable area. So there you go. That's the email, my idea on the UN. Stay tuned, guys. More to come. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
Okay, here's a little tidbit for you out of Schroeppel, New York. A grand jury finds a woman justifiably killed an intruder in her home. Let me read this to you. A grand jury finds a central New York woman was justified in fatally shooting a man who ransacked her home in October. Diane Candy of Schroeppel, of Oswego County was cleared of wrongdoing in the death of Timothy Hartigan, whom she found inside her home after returning from a shopping trip. Deputies said Hartigan had ransacked her home and attacked her. Her son pulled Hartigan off of her, and she grabbed a revolver and shot the intruder. Hartigan's relatives said he had a history of mental illness. The Oswego County District Attorney's Office said it would have no further details of the grand jury findings. You don't need any. Why it went to a grand jury? I don't know. There's New York for you. I don't quite get it. Why it would ever go to the grand jury is really pretty much beyond me. And here's another story. Two men are facing manslaughter charges after a home invasion turned deadly. Listen to this. Two men face manslaughter charges for a home invasion when a third suspect, their buddy, a burglar, was killed by the homeowner. A Shelby County grand jury indicted 23-year-old Timothy Carpenter and Joshua Fast on complicity to manslaughter charges this last Monday. They'd been in custody on burglary charges since the Friday prior. Back in 2008, police said Carpenter, Fast, and the third man, David Fletcher, broke into a Shelbyville home. A resident killed Fletcher in what police called self-defense. Prosecutors said Carpenter and Fast are responsible for his death because it happened as part of a crime. Now, I gotta tell you, I dig it. In most states, if there happens to be a death involved around a drug deal gone bad, or if someone dies because of drugs, illegal drugs that you sold them, even if it's prescription medication that was done illegally, or just simply Schedule I illicit narcotics, you know, you sell somebody some rock cocaine or some heroin or whatever, and they die from it, you're charged with murder. That happens in Nevada. Those sorts of things go on in different states around the country. I believe Utah has the same law. I was speaking to a friend of mine who's a 33-year retired cop, and he was also a Vietnam-era decorated Marine Corps veteran. Just a great guy. One of the most upstanding guys I've ever known in my entire life. There's a buddy of his who is a cop up in central Utah. And about a week or two ago, a couple of weeks ago, I'm sorry. He found out a week or two ago, I think this went down about 4 or 5 weeks ago, a female officer and a sergeant were watching a drug deal out in the middle of nowhere gone bad. I guess it's fairly common. Two cars pull up, you know, driver window to driver window, some sort of an exchange, and then they drive off in separate directions. So, knowing that this sort of thing goes on, the sergeant stops one vehicle, and the female officer travels, follows the other one, and stops the other vehicle. Well, as it turns out, the vehicle that the sergeant stopped ended up containing the younger brother of the female officer that was going after the other car. Now, evidently, from what I understand, this guy was the family derelict. They used to have a big ranch. They did farming and raising cattle and livestock and other things. They ended up ultimately losing the ranch because they couldn't support the ranch and all of the legal bills and drug rehabilitation programs that this son was in, the son that the sergeant stopped. Sure enough, a drug deal had gone on. This little brother had been the one selling the drugs to the other car. His sister, the on-duty cop, the other cop, ends up pulling over this other car. As she approaches the car, cautiously, might I add, the guy's got his left arm up on the steering wheel, driver's window is down. Between, you know, coming up underneath his arm, he's got the muzzle of an AK-47 that the female officer didn't see. He ends up pushing the muzzle forward, resting it on the windowsill, and fires 3 rounds. And then takes off. 2 of the rounds shot this female officer in the throat, within about a half inch or an inch of each other. She was dead. It clipped the spinal cord. She was done before she hit the ground. They couldn't raise her on the radio, couldn't raise her on the radio, couldn't raise her on the radio. So, the sergeant ends up just locking up this lady's little brother's car, the guy that he stopped, throws the guy in the back seat, drives over, and right there is his partner, the female officer that worked with him, dead. And the killer was the buddy of the brother. For all intents and purposes now, both will most likely be charged in the murder. Another sheriff's office eventually did catch the other suspect. He did give a confession. However, the brother may also be facing charges in the murder of his own sister, this drugged out derelict. So, keep in mind, guys, you never know what's going to be coming around the corner. Whether you're a cop or you're a private citizen, doesn't really matter. One way or another, if you're going to get attacked, hurt, killed, just taken advantage of, it's probably going to be by surprise. So stay in condition yellow so you're not surprised. Stay tuned. Plenty more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, I'm going to read to you an article. Actually, it was kind of an opinion, really, in the last Sunday's paper, Las Vegas Review-Journal. You can see it at lvrj.com. It's towards the bottom. Vin Soprinowitz is the guy who wrote this. Vin is one of the writers at the LVRJ. And Vin is a pro-Second Amendment guy, big gun supporter. So this has to deal with the story of a guy who's a business owner, and his business keeps getting broken into, and he keeps calling the cops. And what happened on the most recent one? So, here we go. Handcuffed, disarmed,
handcuffed, disarmed for obeying the law. Charlie Michener, a 61-year-old general building contractor with an office near Patrick Lane and Fort Apache Road in Las Vegas, which is actually a decent area town. He holds a permit allowing him to legally carry concealed weapons in Nevada, Florida, and Utah, which are really the three big keys. Over the past 3 years, his office has been broken into 5 times. He says 3 of those 5 occasions involved me interacting with Metro, Las Vegas Metro Police. He wrote to me recently in an email. Each of the occasions began the same. My introduction, my presentation of my Nevada driver's license, and my concealed firearms permit. Prior to today, each Metro officer simply replied, thank you, proceeded with his work, and when completed, there was a conversation about firearms. Things went real differently at 5:30 a.m. on January 3rd, just 10 days ago, when Mr. Michener called Metro to report a 5th break-in at his office. Vin, I hope I did not see the future this morning, according to Charlie's email. Today was drastically different. The responding officer was a lady cop, Officer J. Rogers, badge number 13525. Now, let me interject just a moment. When I got on Metro in 1995, I think it was, it's not actually a badge number, it's a personnel number. People generically refer to it as a badge number, but everybody, whether you're a cop or not, gets a number. There's certainly not 13,500 cops on. My P number was around the 4,900 mark. So this being 13, and I remember it was a year or two later when the 5,000 mark came out. This guy, or I'm sorry, this female officer was 13,500, 13,525. That's somebody who's damn new. He continues, upon my presentation of my firearms permit, the officer asked if I had the weapon on me, to which I replied, yes. She then said to spread my legs and put my hands behind my back. I complied, and she then handcuffed me. While doing so, she said that she wanted to make certain, quote, that we were all safe. Officer Rogers stripped Mr. Michener of his Glock 19 he was carrying, took the weapon, and locked it in her patrol car. Bear in mind that she had yet to clear the office. She was waiting for backup to arrive before she cleared it, Charlie writes. He says, so while remote, there was a possibility that the bad guys were still in my office and would come rushing out, find me, to their delight, handcuffed in my office. Apparently, I was not included in her comment that we were all safe. It is always nice when law-abiding citizens, particularly myself, are disposable. An hour or so later, when she had completed her paperwork, she came back in the office. I was in the rear. I did not see her enter. She came to me and said that she had put my weapon in the 2nd drawer on the left in the receptionist desk. So then she then said that she could tell that I was upset with being handcuffed, like a common criminal, as the officer duly pointed out. I explained that I was extremely upset and told her that it was out of respect to her that I provided my firearms permit and that the Second Amendment did have some meaning. She replied that the reason she did what she did was because she did not know if I was a bad guy or not. This guy continues by saying, I thought to myself, how absurd. I apply to the law to obtain permits and yell it from the housetop that I have a permit and I'm carrying, just as I presume all bad guys do, right? Obviously in jest. I asked if she was following procedure to handcuff me and remove my weapons, to which she did not have a good answer, other than I was larger than her. It certainly reminded me of the stories in New Orleans after Katrina regarding confiscating weapons from the law-abiding citizens. Another officer told this guy, this I'm going to call him the victim all the way around, Charlie, that based on the badge number of Officer J. Rogers, she had probably only been on her own for less than 6 months and was probably not secure in what she was doing. Quote, it certainly makes me want to provide all the information the next time my office is broken into, he adds. I talked to, this is continuing with the story, the author of this article I'm reading to you, talked to Charlie, the victim, on Tuesday, of last week, so about 10 days ago. He had called the Concealed Permit Division that morning and had been referred to Internal Affairs, where he reported a detective told him, quote, "It all depends on the officers that if they think it's the safest thing to do, they can do that." And he said it's best not to bring a weapon into this kind of situation. Now, that is a PC sort of an answer. All right. The officer is supposed to be safe. In the state of Nevada, and I should say this, in some states, if you're carrying concealed, part of the provision of having that concealed weapons permit is that when you come into contact with a law enforcement officer, you are obligated by the statutes of CCWs, concealed weapons permits, to tell the officer that you're armed. Some states don't have that. Nevada does not have that. This guy did not have to give his CCW to this cop. Why did he do it? Because that generally will put people on common ground. It will generally take a cop and say, okay, this guy's got a CCW. Good. I know this is a bona fide, certified good guy. This person has a concealed weapons permit. They're packing. They've gone through the at least the legal training, if not the firearms training. And they've gotten approved with background checks and fingerprints in now three states, Nevada, Utah, Arizona. Of course, they probably only knew about Nevada at that point. It didn't need to give them the other ones. But still, in your jurisdiction, they did the background and realized, yeah, this is a good guy. This person can carry a gun. Still being treated like this. So for the Internal Affairs just jackass to say, oh, yeah, they can do that. My response is my ass. So, after going through all of the rigmarole required to obtain a concealed weapons permit, it's best if a business owner who is the first to arrive at his office in the dawn hours to find it's been broken into to not carry a weapon, where the hell would the cop suggest would be a better circumstance in which to carry our legal self-defense weapon? A toddler's birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese? Because remember, this Internal Affairs officer said it's best not to bring a weapon into this kind of situation. What kind of situation would you say it's good to bring one in, officer? The author of this article contacted Metro, Vin contacted Metro about this incident last Tuesday night. Late Friday, a spokesman confirmed that Mr. Michener's account is generally accurate, stating that the officer, quote, acted in a way that was in the interest of her safety. Charlie Michener followed the law. He's trained at front sight with tactical response and continues to regularly visit the range. Yet, in an instant, I'm in handcuffs at 61 years old. This was a first. And there were no bad guys in handcuffs with me, just the guy who thought he was doing things correctly. That being Charlie Michener. We should not be required to apply for any permit to carry a concealed weapon in the first place. Despite this, Mr. Mitcher did everything required of him by law, ordinance, and Metro instructions. The officer handcuffed and disarmed him, quote, so that everyone would be safe? What a bunch of bull. If the burglar or burglars had emerged, they would be confronted by not two armed, law-abiding good guys, but instead of one small, frightened officer and a handcuffed and disarmed legal occupant. This rendered Mr. Mitcher safer? I don't think so. I'll also tell you this from Bill Karn's personal knowledge, personal accounts. I have worked both as a Metro officer and as a front sight range master. I flat guarantee you that Mr. Michener is a better shot, higher tuned, and much more capable than this officer Rogers. Absolutely guarantee it. He has had better training than that officer has ever had. And unless she decides to go out to an organized school and get some proper training, he has better gun handling, better marksmanship, better ability than she will ever have if she never leaves the department training. Now, please note that if Mr. Michener had not followed law, ordinance, or Metro's request, if he had carried a firearm in his waistband without ever seeking a permit or informing the officer he had it, the tiny officer would have had no probable cause to disarm him. Actually, it's not probable cause so much, it's more reasonable suspicion, because he's permitted to have it. And he would likely have remained armed throughout the entire encounter. Thus, he was punished, degraded, and treated like a common criminal because, and only because, he attempted to follow law, ordinance, and Metro's legally dubious instructions. The cops don't get it. The Constitution did not say the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed unless such infringement makes an officer of the government feel safer. The biggest reason the American populace are armed was never to fight off bears or wild Indians, but to make agents of the government feel unsafe. Really, really unsafe. Should they then try to take away our rights. That's why a citizen militia is necessary to the security of a free state. If these arrogant, uninformed employees of ours really want to treat us like the enemy, they may eventually get their wish, at which point they will discover they are vastly outnumbered and backup is never quite close enough to solve the problem they've created for themselves. So, there's the article. Now, I might just call up Vin and see if he wants to be a guest on this show. Because this guy's got it together. He's written all kinds of stories, all pro-Second Amendment type of stuff, pro-gun type of stuff. This guy is good. And to get this in the Sunday paper, the Review Journal, it's by far the biggest paper in the state. It's really the only paper in the city. There's also the Las Vegas Sun, but it's owned by the same company. And they combine it together into one big Sunday paper, the Review Journal Las Vegas Sun combined edition. So there's only one big local Sunday paper. And that's where this guy puts his stuff. Good stuff. Now, at this point in time, I got to tell you, if I called and said, hey, you know, the radio studio that I broadcast out of has been broken into, send a cop. And I'm packing. And they tried to do the same thing. You know what I would do is I would tell them, you know something? I am not willing to go through this. At this point in time, I am going to reverse my call to the police. You are now trespassing. It is time for you to leave the property. And I would trespass the cop. I would not allow them to come in and disarm me. I would then call the burglary division and ask for a burglary detective to come out. And I would tell the burglary detective, I'm not dealing with patrol. They tried to disarm me. I am armed. I have a Nevada CCW. I will be armed when you get here. This is my sanctuary. This is my office. This is my domain. I'm not going to give up my gun to you or the patrol officer or anybody else. Please come out and take this burglary report or assign someone who's not going to try to disarm me. You could even from then just recall dispatch and say, hey, I called, I had a cop. I kicked the cop out of here because I have a concealed weapons permit. She wanted to take my gun away. I'm not going to allow that. This is my sanctuary, my domain. I will remain armed. I'm letting you know that. Assign another officer. That's the way I would roll. I would not allow the cop to put me in cuffs and take away my gun. Because I know, unless that is some big, bad, unbelievable super cop, that there is no way in hell that that cop is going to be more efficient with a gun than me, especially a handgun. It's just not going to happen. I would be by far the best trained guy with a handgun in that situation than just about any cop that's ever going to walk in that door, ever. So I would not be standing there handcuffed and disarmed when I'm the one who called the cops because I was a victim of a crime. Guys, don't allow yourselves to be this same kind of a victim. If you call the cops and you have a gun and they tell you, look, just put the gun away, I'd tell them, I tell you what, this is my house, my domain. You put your gun away. This is my property. The gun is my property. I am in violation of absolutely no law whatsoever. You are invited on my property to assist me to protect and serve. I'll take care of the protection. You handle the service. If anybody in this office or this home is going to be unarmed, officer, it's going to be you, because I make the rules here. Well, that's my invitation for you guys to get this done. All right? Do not allow yourselves to be disarmed in your own domain. If you're out on the street, maybe you're a witness to a crime, something like that, you may go through this. But if you identify yourself, you let them know you got a CCW, let them know you're carrying, and they want to take your gun away, my suggestion is put your hands in the air and say, officer, hold on just a moment. I have a background check. I'm legally carrying this. I'm not a threat to anybody. If you disarm me, I will not be able to protect myself, and you are under no legal obligation to have to protect me. I do not have any intention of just casually handing over my gun and my life into your or anybody else's hands. So let's resolve this. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong, and this is not where you belong.
All right, guys, in case you didn't know, next week, January 19, 20, 21, 22, that's Tuesday through Friday of next week, is going to be the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. That's the Shooting, Hunting, and Outdoor Trade Show. It's once a year. It is by far the biggest, most massive industry show in the world. And it's here in Las Vegas. It's been between Vegas and I think Miami or Fort Lauderdale, somewhere in Florida. It's going to be in Vegas for, I think, the next 10 years. And this year it's at the Sands Expo and Convention Center. So it's most of the time when it's in Vegas, it's been at the Las Vegas Convention Center. They've moved it to the Sands Expo and Convention Center, which is it's a big hall. It's not quite as big as the Las Vegas Convention Center, but it's big, it's huge, it's going to be fun. I'm going to be there at least for a couple of those days, probably earlier in the week, probably like a Tuesday, Wednesday, or maybe Wednesday, Thursday. If any of you happen to be in Las Vegas for that show, shoot me an email to bill@2aradio.com. I'd be happy to meet you, shake your hand, and say hi. I will be perusing around the entire show, making the rounds. I had a meeting yesterday with the guys that I'm having to do the prototypes for my target stands. So I'm going to have a few of those done up by the time the show rolls around. And go around and just kind of introduce the stand to some of the different potential buyers that are going to be at this show, because it's been so long and such an arduous process trying to get just to the point of having these prototype stands that I'm not going to have all of the other printed material, the website, I'm not going to have all of that stuff ready by any means in 6 days when this show opens. So I am, however, going to introduce myself and the prototypes of these stands and all the features of them, so when I am ready for all of this stuff in the next couple of months, I can then get a hold of them and say, you'll remember me, this was my stand, we're ready to go, here's what the offer is, here's the price point, blah, da, 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 da. So I'll be going around doing that, making some contacts for some other things, making some contacts when it comes to this radio show and Republic Broadcasting. So I will be around that show for at least probably Wednesday and Thursday of next week. So again, if you're going to be in town for it or anything, feel free, shoot me an email. You can always go to the website, 2aradio.com, and my email address is bill@2aradio.com. Feel free to let me know where you're going to be, if you're going to be at a booth or walking around, wherever it is. I'm happy to meet you, shake your hand, and say hi. So looking forward to that. I also hope to have some updates by the end of this week, what's going on with this whole thing, where I'm trying to do a citizen's arrest in the form of a citation for an on-duty Las Vegas Metro officer, and I'm getting stonewalled by the department. Imagine that, protecting one of their own. So, I'm going to be dealing with that a little bit later today. I'll let you know when I know. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday. We'll be right back.